Power Project family, I hope you guys are doing well today. I want to give you guys a quick piece of fitness equipment lifting history. The hip circle that you see before you is actually the first hip circle ever. All right, there were no booty bands before the hip circle, which is pretty interesting. That's why you see it in gyms like The Rock. We've seen Kim K using it on Instagram. It is the OG. But that's also why we have the slingshots, gangster wraps, knee sleeves, elbow sleeves, everything that you're going to need in the gym so that you can protect yourself before you wreck yourself. So, Andrew, you tell the people how to get it.
Yes, that's over at markbellslingshot.com. And at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT10 to save 10% off your entire order. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
I'm ready.
Aggressive over there.
Yeah. We going?
It's the roid rage.
I have some of this weird kratom that my brother gave me.
Oh.
It says, like, on the back of it, it says that it's, like, says something about, like, something about being level 1 to 5, and it's like, this is a 5.
Does he have more?
No, I think he just got these. He got 2 of them. I think he drank one of them. I drank a little bit of it earlier.
Chris.
But you can try some of it. You want to try some of it?
It's your level 5 kratom.
Yeah, you got to go for it, Mark.
Just drink the whole thing?
Well, if you
now
you can
save
me a little
cautious.
Bit, but
just imagine,
I just had a potion. I'm just curious about
imagine
this.
Imagine all our guests when they come
I'll
in
just
and
down
you're
the
like,
whole thing.
Yeah, there
down
you go.
It. Down it.
Go, 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 go.
How's it taste?
It tastes really bad. It's great because they tried to flavor this and it says that it's hazelnut. And then it just. Like, why would you, if you're going to flavor something, why wouldn't you try to make it taste good?
It's like when somebody tries to spray like that potpourri shit after taking a dump. Like,
yeah.
It just smells bad.
Yeah, it smells like poo still.
Went from bad to worse.
Poo-pourri.
Poo-pourri, exactly.
Poo-pourri. Did you spell poo-pourri, P-O-T-P-U-R-R-I?
You're the smart guy. I have no idea. You're the smart one.
I don't know how to spell anything.
No. Dog. It's getting so bad. I remember you had mentioned a while back, you're like, yeah, I mean, you're typing and it's like your iPhone can't even recognize it. I'm there now. Like, that's where I'm at.
My phone's like, I got no idea what you're talking about.
I got nothing.
I'm not close with this suspicious when I'm typing it out. I know there's like an I and an O and a U and an S and a fucking C somewhere, but I don't know the organization of all that shit.
And it's so demoralizing when you like announce it to everybody that you can't spell a word because then you're typing. It's like, fuck, suspicious.
Oh yeah, you just talk when you talk
voice
to it.
The text. Yeah. I'm like, damn it, I gave in.
That's a good idea. I never thought about doing that, but that's
oh, it works great.
Yeah, it saves
peculiar.
Nope, can't even pronounce it.
I know that say one's it. Hard.
Pick. Nope.
Say it. You can say it.
Peculiar.
Hey, that was pretty good.
I did start to laugh, but that was pretty hard.
I'm so stupid with stuff. I can't, like, I know we're not supposed to say can't around here, but I have a really hard time with, like, enunciating something that someone said to me that's that has, like, something from a different language or something from a different custom. Mm-hmm. Like, if you said your name, it's, like, so hard for me
that's
to.
That's all y'all, though.
I know, but I'm, like, well, I know, but at least I admit it. Like, I'm really bad. Really bad.
Man. Teachers, man, like, oh my God,
I'm so white.
Okay,
I apologize.
This is a thing I've noticed. I think it's because American names are just they're pretty cool. They're pretty chill, right? They're like Sam or David, John, Jerry, Greg.
That's literally my brain when I'm thinking about somebody I have to text. I'm like Tim, Bob, Bill. It's like white name after white name after white name. And I land on it always.
And, you know, I have sympathy because all your life you're dealing with that. And then you have some motherfucker coming up to you and his name's Takayaki. I knew a Takayaki Igarashi. And you look at it and you're like, that was my sixth grade woodshop teacher, Mr. Becker. It was sad for him because Takayaki's name came right before mine. He's Igarashi, I'm Iyang, right? So our names are right after each other. So he's saying all these names and everyone's chilling. And then he's like,
oh, fuck.
Tikiki, and Takayaki's like, Takayaki Igarashi. And his ass, Mr. Becker, he was a little bit of a comedian. So he was like, well, it's not funny now, but he's like, Takayaki, teriyaki. Like it was so bad. And then his ass gets to my name right after, and he's just like, oh. I just this audible sigh.
That's
he's like,
great.
I was like, Insema. He's like, Insema. And he just couldn't do it. So I have sympathy for you guys. It's tough. I know.
I think Graham, he still calls you something wrong, right?
Oh, yeah. Graham always.
He, Nasima.
He messes it up.
Yeah, it's fine.
He hits you with the Nasima.
It's fine.
Mm. Right? Well, he goes to the same jiu-jitsu school as you, so I'm sure that...
He pays for it later.
He can pay for it here and there, right?
Yeah.
Give him a little receipt for it.
It's going to be fun rolling with Graham because I'll go nice with him. And then there will be some days where I'll just joke him a few times.
Yeah, or maybe you're not so nice.
I'll be nice.
You see James Smith, he posted...
something jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, he posted a jiu-jitsu-y thing. A guy came up to him and was like, bro, your triceps aren't even that big. And it's like when you make the transition to do more jiu-jitsu and he just starts choking the guy out like seven different ways.
Ooh, it's his latest video. You want to pull it up?
Pull it up.
Looks
it was
good.
Funny, man. He's hilarious.
James Smith is a great fucking content creator. Great mind and also a great content creator.
Yeah. A comedian.
He is. He's funny.
They're not looking too big, bro.
That's loud.
Oh, hey now.
Those tries are not looking too big, bro.
When you train jiu-jitsu, but people comment on your physique like you're a bodybuilder.
Have a good day, Nick.
Those tries are not looking too big, bro.
Oh, man. It is fun.
I love the bro mentality. It's great.
Yeah, it is. Man, it is fun, though, just to, like, know you could just choke somebody.
Do you think there's still people out there that, like, think they have shot, like, just because they're, like, lifting and that they're, like, big? Like, that they can, like, do something to somebody who's been training? Like, you train every day. Like, you're not fighting, but you're practicing like a martial art that is mimicking fighting.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think, again, why, at least for my generation, why did a lot of kids start lifting? This jacked motherfucker right here that could fight, you know what I mean? Goku, right? So I think like, you know, when you get bigger, you're like, ugh, right? And people won't mess with you when you're bigger too. But that doesn't mean you can actually defend yourself. That just means that you're less likely to get stepped at because you're big.
And yeah, in the first place, somebody might be like, that's probably not a good person to pick on.
Yeah. And I mean, no, let's be real though. Lifting and strength training, definitely, like, even if you don't know how to fight, people still won't want to mess with you. Like, you have strength. Like, you could, I mean, your punch might not be technical, but it's going to be strong.
I remember like a few times I've been in stuff that's physical. Like I remember pushing somebody and I was like, whoops. Like that was not
cool.
Did you
do that as a kid?
I did it as a kid, yeah. Yeah. I threw a kid into a post on the soccer field, like twirled him around and just chucked him. Yeah. And then when I was older, there was like an altercation at this bar that I was at and the guy... It was interesting. The guy's girlfriend hit my brother in the back of the head, and it's my brother. So just as like a reaction, I pushed. I was like, I can't do anything to her. So I just shoved her boyfriend, and both of them went flying into a bike rack. And there was a whole line of people that were outside of this bar, Sharky's in Hermosa Beach. And they all just started like clapping. They were so pumped. They were like, like, fuck him up. But when I pushed the guy, I was like, that was way too hard. Like, that was.
It's I mean, like the 500 pound bench strength.
they were like, speed I mean, they were, you know, being like violent and fucking acting crazy. So it was like, whatever. But as soon as I pushed, I was like, that was unnecessary. That was way too hard.
Man, working on a bar scene must be fucking wild. Like, we just had that episode about like alcohol.
I was just going to bring that up.
Go for it.
Well, because you know when you're talking about, like, do people still think that they can, like, yeah, there's still dudes that will drink every UFC fight and be like, oh, who's fighting bantamweight? I could take them. It's like, no, bro, you can't. You have no fucking chance.
Josh Emmett, I'd kill that guy.
Fuck
it's
off,
like,
dude.
No, you
fuck
won't.
No, you won't. Yeah,
Chad Mendez.
Yeah, so that's when we were talking about that liquid courage kicking in, especially that it's like, I'm 215. Like, what's 135 gonna do to me?
Oh, you seen how explosive Chad Mendez is?
Oh my god, dude, he's terrifying.
Yeah. Like any
shit would hurt.
Yeah.
Josh Settledge, you know? Josh Settledge would wreck 99% of the population. And he's like 160 pounds. Like, you'll see him in a, like a long sleeve. He just looks he looks like he's chilling. But if anybody were to try to step to that boy, he'd take your legs out and slam your head into the ground, no matter how heavy you are or big you are.
I just think this guy has pretty good.
Oh, yes.
I don't know who that is.
It's a guy, yeah, uses some of that peekaboo Tyson style.
Oh, my God.
It was on Foos Gone Wild, and I just thought it was hilarious because people were like, you know, they put him there because it looks kind of silly, but at the same time, I looked at his footwork and I'm like, oh my God.
No, that's deadly. Like, yeah. What's his page? Like, can you pull
this? No. Oh, sorry. There it is. I didn't even know that it was an actual page, but.
That looks really, yeah.
Yeah, it almost looks sped up. Okay. It's like kind of unbelievable how fast he's moving.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is, but I just saw that and it reminded me of everything.
Oof. Yeah, that kind of footwork is really interesting where, you hop to the side. Like, imagine you go to, like, mess with somebody. They just hop to the side and they hook you right in the face.
I'd be like, my bad. I'm going to leave. Here's everything you want, my wallet, money, whatever you want.
Like, oh, your face, God. You're squaring off against them and they hop to the side of you. And then they hit you with, like, a hook. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Actually, you'd be on the ground.
Yeah.
Right. Fucking ground. Oh, I haven't brought this up yet, but Chris mentioned it. Why do you think there hasn't been a good movie since Braveheart?
I know. I say it all the time. but it's my favorite movie.
It's your favorite movie?
One of my favorite movies. I like Braveheart a lot.
I truly don't think I don't think I've actually sat through the whole thing. I think I fell asleep. No, I've seen bits and pieces of Braveheart.
It's really long.
It's very long.
You have to commit. Yeah.
So why is it so good?
I don't know. I just love it. It's a typical, story of like
the underdog.
Yeah, the underdog, like, you know, and he just keeps getting fucked over a bunch of times, and then he makes like a triumphant comeback, and you know, he ends up like dying in the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's dying for his freedom and it's, you know, it's a fucking Hollywood movie, but it's halfway true, I guess. William Wallace did exist, and there's stuff about William Wallace, but yeah, I just don't know. Just always thought it was dope. Always thought it was cool. Okay.
What about the part where he's like captured? He's like all in chains and shit, and then that chick comes and gives him something. I think it's to kill him, right? Like she like makes him drink it, but then she kisses him afterwards, and then he spits it out. Mm. Like, how did he make out with somebody with a mouthful of liquid? I was just like, but then she would have noticed because. She was like, oh, you're here, drink this so they don't torture you. I think that's what happened. And she's kissed him.
And she was trying to kill him? Like, that stuff was supposed
because,
to kill him?
Because, like, that was his chick.
Oh, because he was, at the end, he's getting tortured.
Yeah.
Might have just numbed the pain, probably.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
But he spit it out after kissing her. And I was just, as a kid, being like, I don't think I had to kiss anybody at that point, but being like,
that's impossible.
Yeah, like how did he do that?
Savage. I love those movies where everyone's so dirty and gross, and then except for like the main female character.
Always super hot.
Just hot and clean. Just like pristine and just looking amazing.
I was watching.
Looking like she smells good. Everybody else looks like all their shit's probably overgrown downstairs and they probably fucking stink like shit.
There's like no showers. There's no bathrooms.
Yeah.
But I was watching 300 the other day. I still never watched the whole thing all the way through, but I keep getting to the same part when they're like they're in that last stand, right? When like they're like killing everybody and there's only like a couple of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, his wife, I was just like, damn, she's so hot. And it's like, I just started thinking about it because she put her hand in water and I'm like, oh, that's where she probably takes a bath too. Mm-hmm. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
300's pretty cool. You ever see that?
Yeah, I saw 300.
Yeah.
I've seen that twice.
You have to finish it.
Gerard Butler. Mm-hmm. That was a fucking good movie.
Mm-hmm. All those people got jacked for that.
Yeah.
Those guys were probably on the sauce.
That was like, there was a whole thing about the 300 workout and
that's
stuff.
That's when it started.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's when it started, like the superhero workouts. Because then after that, it was like the Avengers workout or whatever. I'm making shit up. But they started coming out after the Wonder Woman workout. Dude. All that stuff.
Gerard Butler never looked like that ever again.
Nope.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Short.
You get half a point.
Sorry, guys.
That was amazing.
It bounced in, but you didn't call it. You got
to
call it.
Stop trying to take it away from me.
I'm taking it back.
Stop trying to take it away from me. Yo, but what's his name? Chris Hemsworth. He looks fucking dope. Thor movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's making videos about him being on the sauce. Mm-hmm. He just looks. He looks like the like.
He looks incredible.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that scene in the trailer where the guy's like trying to make something like move out of the way, and he just like removes all his clothes.
Yeah,
and then the women all faint. I think.
Oh God!
Can't wait to watch that. Gonna watch. I wonder Doctor Strange in 2 days. Disney Plus.
Oh,
it's in 2 days.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how much Hemsworth weighs. Any idea?
We can he's Google like it, six, but it's gonna.
He's pretty tall.
He's
tall.
He's like 6'3", right? I'm guessing it's maybe like 220, 210.
That's a big person.
Yeah. big, he's a big human. This isn't what we're going to talk about, but you know, ever since we did that one episode with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit thing, right, and we kind of talked about female body image issues, there's been a lot of guys that were kind of talking about male body image and like the effect that this stuff and then even fitness and, you know, that has on that. I think we could talk about that later, but it's a very interesting topic because, I mean, I haven't, I've thought about it a little bit, but it's different, you know?
Yeah, I just don't really hear guys talk about it as much, but, you know, so many of the male influences that we see are fucking jacked, you know? And I think that from a society standpoint, there's definitely more pressure on women because it seems like
you mean specifically for the body?
Yeah, specifically for the body. It seems like some dudes can walk around with like a gut, but a girl with a stomach that is kind of accumulated some body fat, like it's just, I don't know, it's going to be harder for that woman to get particular men. Right. They'll still find a male, of course, because men are will go for anything at some point. And different people have different
got in you.
And different people have different tastes, right? I just have this hibiscus.
And also about alcohol. It just depends on how many drinks you got
yeah,
in you
right,
for a guy.
Right? Like, yeah. And but I do think that like it's from a societal standpoint anyway, it appears that there's like sometimes you see women that are very, very attractive and you're like, that's odd. You know, why is she with that guy? Like mm-hmm. that guy is like fat and short and whatever. And who the hell knows? There could be multiple reasons why. Maybe they're just in love. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a chick definitely will find somebody eventually, but yeah, you don't see too many, you don't see the opposite. You don't see an overweight girl who makes a shit ton of money with like a dime piece dude. Like,
do you guys want to go on this?
We're already up,
we're in.
Sir.
We're already in.
But
yeah.
For a dude, okay. there's the emphasis on like, you know, making money and trying to go that route also. But yeah, you don't really, it's, I guess, what are they called? Like sugar daddies and then sugar mama, I guess. I don't know.
I do remember back in the day on Jerry Springer, I would see a very, very heavy, overweight white woman with a skinny black guy. I remember seeing that. And that is the official cancellation of Mark Bell's Power Project. Thank you guys so much for all the attention and love you guys have given us over the years.
It just brings up the meme, which is like...
We have seen that, right? I'm not making things up.
He needed somewhere to just stay.
He needed somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it's a meme. That's great.
Yeah. Nah, that's the thing.
Where do we go? Where do we go from here?
That's the thing, man. I remember
this account again. Hold
dog,
on.
I remember when I was younger, I'd be getting work done at the Starbucks, and I saw this skinny black dude, man. And it was just like this older, kind of big white woman, but she had a big butt. But like, she was just like, I'm like, dog, like what? Like that is a thing in certain scenarios, and it's, man, I don't know, I can't explain that shit. I just
popped into my head. I'm like, I gotta share this. I gotta say, I gotta just spit it out.
Oh fuck.
I also know that when I was a bouncer and I would walk through the crowd, if my butt ever got pinched, it was either by a gay guy or by a black girl. They're like, you got a big ass. And I was like, that doesn't mean you can just like pinch it and spank it and
LA
do whatever
face,
you want with it.
Oakland booty.
Yeah. I was like, damn, okay. But thank you.
Hey, these are things that have happened to you. So I was when I was younger, I told you, I don't know if I told you guys, it was one of my exes. We were at a gay bar because some of her friends were down there. So we go in and I'm just like at this table. And then this gay dude comes up to me. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm how are you? And then he starts like, he's like, look at you. You're kind of big. I'm like, I'm good. And then he starts like trying trying to touch me. And I'm like, I'm going around the circle and her friends are laughing. I'm like, guys, this guy's really trying to grab my junk because he was like going for my dick. And then this drag queen came out and she grabbed him and she's like, I'm sorry, whatever. But he did manage to like cut me. I was like, whoo. So
I can see why you don't love to go out.
No wonder. Get harassed all the
time. Yeah, man, that shit wasn't. Yeah,
I went to a gay bar in New Orleans. I was going around with my wife. We were going to different bars and stuff. And then there's a whole kind of section that has gay bars. And you know, like when male and female pass by each other, you line each other up a little bit and you kind of like rub on each other a little bit. And it doesn't matter if you're like single or if you're married or whatever, like there's like a little bit of a thing going on there. Like it's more than just like you passing by. Cause I'm sure that if you calculated it just right, you can probably not touch each other at all.
Yeah.
Right. If
yeah.
you wanted to. Mm-hmm. As I was walking through the crowd, I noticed that when I would have to like maneuver through the crowd a certain way, I noticed like guys like pushing into me a bit more, like, you know, kind of I told Andy, I was like, I was like, we have to go. I just can't.
My ass is going to get us in trouble.
Yeah, I'm good, but like, let's go. Like, I don't mean to be a party pooper, but
I've never been to a gay bar. The closest I've got to anything like that, I was walking with a friend of mine. We used to, like, more than a couple times, we would just like drive to like LA, like, just let's go fucking find something to do. Mm-hmm. And we would always end up in Hollywood because Hollywood Boulevard is just, there's always so much shit going on. And I just remember we like turned the corner and I was like, oh shit, what's going on in there? Strip club. And I was like, damn, hell yeah. And then my friend was like, damn, hell no. Just a bunch of dudes naked on stage. I'm like, ah, oh, shit, my bad. Mm-hmm. But I felt so stupid. I was like, ah, oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
I was just looking at a dude's like, oh, just kidding. But that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nightlife is interesting, man. But back on topic. This whole this whole male body image thing. You're mentioning I don't know, you're saying something about how the way that men and women are looked at as far as attraction, and like, you know, we know that men, you know, let's look at the way men typically look at women. Men don't typically look at women for like, oh, how much money does she make or what's her job? Like, those are cool. If this is a woman that's like, you know, really driven and she's doing well in life, that's a cool thing. But we're very visually driven, mm-hmm. you know.
We're not thinking security.
most of us are not thinking security because men aren't like, most men don't go through life initially like, who's going to take care of me? They go with the understanding of potentially needing to take care of somebody. So what does that make them do? You have to build yourself up.
Yeah, there's right? still the component, even though it's traditional, there's still the component of women get pregnant. And
yeah.
the man feels like a certain responsibility to maybe work more, have a higher paying job, whether it's like uneven in the workforce, you know, that's another topic. But I think that there's still some of that traditional thought process going into life after you're 25.
Exactly. Like, and especially in this economy, is for some people, it's going to be well after 25 for you to get settled into a job and start making the type of money you need to make. And men are looked at as far as like the way women are attracted to them. Like, yes, there's this visual, like, okay, are they good looking? But there's a bigger aspect of, okay, well, can they take care of things? Like, that's what you see a lot. Like, women looking seriously at men who have things together as far as their financial stability and all these other aspects other than looks, whereas men look at women primarily for their looks. And a comment that I was continuing to see from a lot of guys, because, you know, we mentioned the Sports Illustrated thing, and we are seeing in certain aspects of media, specifically on the female side, because you don't see it on the male side, women who are curvier or bigger, let's just use the swimsuit model thing. She was heavier. People were saying she's obese, but technically I don't think she was obese. I think she was overweight. But people were like, this is being glorified and this is being looked at as beautiful and whatever. And as much as like, I guess I understood what people were saying there, if you're not attracted to that, that doesn't necessarily change what you're attracted to. But some people were saying that it's encouraging women to believe that this is okay for you to look this way. On the practical aspect of things, even if it's on a magazine cover or even if it's seen somewhat in media, I don't think it's encouraging that many women to be like, I'm okay being out of shape and overweight. I still think that there are still things that, like, especially on social media and Instagram and all these things, that are still making individuals want to look a certain way. Yumi knew was not the ideal. But on the male side of things, what do we see in terms of, like, fitness influencers, superhero movies? We do have a lot of variance in terms of like what you see as success as a man. Like, it's not always the jack shredded person, but there is a level of, I guess, fitness that you generally see put forward as this is the ideal for a man to look like.
And it seems like you might have to work out a lot to achieve that. Like, you might even have to be like a fitness influencer. You might have to, I'm just saying from the appearance, like, of how in shape some people are, you're kind of outside of looking in. You're like, I can't figure that out. Like, I would, you're kind of thinking like, I'm so far behind. Mm-hmm. I would literally probably not have, I wouldn't be able to have a job. But I also think that maybe people are, sometimes it's looking at it as such a huge mountain to climb because maybe they haven't really explored that much fitness for themselves yet. Maybe they don't understand, like, a little bit can really go a long way. But I think a lot of times you're just thinking, like, that lifestyle, that's not mine. I don't have that. And not only do I not have that, but I can't even figure it out. And then so maybe they miss the message of get sunlight, go for a walk, because they're like, it's bullshit. Like, you guys don't have real jobs. You sit around, you podcast all day, you pull each other's fingers, and you go rub your butts on some stuff in the gym, and you do a set of curls, and then you're out.
Not too far from the truth.
And also, like, we're really blessed. Like, we got free meat from our sponsor, Piedmontese. Like, there's a lot of cool things that have made things more convenient for us, but we all have had beginnings.
How long have we been in shape? Like, let's think about this, though.
Before how long have we been in shape before any of this came along?
Right?
Long ass time.
Yeah. Like, you
this have, is all fairly new.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you when you were powerlifting, you were heavier, but you were heavier for the sport. But even before that, when you were doing things with wrestling, et cetera, you had habits that allowed you to be in shape.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
figured it out. Yep.
Exactly. So things might be easier with that lifestyle now. But the habits, no matter who you are, the habits we talk about can still be applied for you to get into the best shape you can get into.
Let's talk a little bit about attractiveness versus, like, healthy, right? Because there are two, like, there's a pretty big divide there. And then there's a lot of places where the two things are intertwined and overlap a lot. Yeah. Attractiveness, the model that we saw on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I think maybe half the people that would look at her and see multiple images of her, maybe half or maybe a little bit more, would think she's fairly attractive. Maybe for some people it's not their flavor and they're like...
And that is subjective.
Yeah, that is
what an individual finds attractive.
It's subjective. It's subjective probably to, like, a point, and then it starts to be... a little bit more of all the things that we've seen over the years and just the things that we're attracted to. Like, it sometimes is agreeable as well, right? So somebody like The Rock, like, is there anybody that finds The Rock unattractive? Maybe, but I think most people find him to be very attractive, right? Or Chris Hemsworth or some of these other famous actors and actresses. So there's definitely an agreeable common ground, but that's unrelated to health in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the girl that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, is she more unhealthy than a bikini IFBB pro figure female who may be utilizing thyroid medication, clenbuterol, some, you know, maybe he's doing some things to get into that shape that aren't maybe healthy practices, maybe doing things, maybe training to to an extent that's like maybe a little overdone and maybe compromising sleep because of the anxiety and some of the things that happen when your calories are really plummeting. So I just find it all really interesting. And then again, taking that same bikini model, some people might be like, hey, when they're on stage, I don't like that. I don't like that look.
Yeah, and many again, people don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's a subjective view, right? Like you're entitled to your opinion. But then health wise, like just because you have body fat on you does not mean you're unhealthy. I don't know. I believe that from information that I've heard and some of the things I've seen over the years, that it's going to sound like a funny term, but there's something called a maximum fat threshold. Each person has it. And until they start to kind of fill out some of their body and the fat cells and stuff like that, then it starts to become more problematic because it starts to just show up in like your liver and stuff like that. And that's not anything that you want to have happen.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen from being 10 pounds overweight. Where does it happen? I don't know. We know that women can have higher body fat percentages. They naturally have higher body fat percentages.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, is it maybe 6% more or something like that? A woman.
Yeah. Like for a woman to be obese, it's being around 33 or 34% body fat. And for a man, it's around 25% body fat. So a woman is technically lean at like 20%, 19-20% body fat. Whereas for a man, like you're not obese or anything, but you can definitely tell you have some body fat on you.
And this show, we talk about, you know, some of these things, but we're all in agreement that all I want to see from people is I would like for people to open up their eyes and recognize that they can do better.
Yes.
Everybody can do better. Everybody can make an effort and do better on just about any, and I include myself, anybody can work towards being better in just about any category. So mm-hmm. whether it's a Sports Illustrated model or whether it's somebody in fitness who's taken it way too far, or whether it's Bert Kreischer, who we were talking about recently on a podcast, can he reduce the size of his belly? Can he have that come down a little bit and still enjoy some drinks? Yes. I believe so.
I believe so too. You know, that's an odd thing about, I guess, what we were seeing from what people are saying on that, about that, because they're like, there's no way this person can be healthy. No, like, she actually can. Like, people kept saying she's obese, but an individual can be overweight, still have healthy habits, still go do things, and live a healthy lifestyle. And that's what we're talking about here. But on the guy's side of things, like, I really am trying to even understand the way that I looked at my body as I was getting older and my aspirations, because like when you see superheroes, when you see cartoons, and I was a fucking nerd, so those are the things that I paid attention to, and that's Chris Hemsworth as Thor, right?
Damn!
You know, guys were...
Put the camera a little lower, Andrew.
I can't.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I mean, we can just get closer, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey. Hey. He's
jacked, man. Like, he looks fucking good.
Looks incredible.
But... You know, some guys are like, let's talk about how men's body issues affect them. When I was a kid and I was wanting to get in better shape and I was wanting to gain muscle, like the images that were put in front of me were these crazy comic book, whatever characters that were big and jacked. And then I lifted and I was able to get big. But I do see there's a problem that each individual can't necessarily compare themselves to somebody else. Like when I get DMs from certain people saying, man, I want to have a body like yours. In the back of my mind, I'm like, that's cool, but that's also dangerous, because as much as, you know, you may be lifting and you have this different types of influencers that you're like, I want to have a body like them, or I want to be as shredded as them. You got to detach yourself from that specific goal. You can't become too connected to that. Because again, we all have different capacities. We all have different genetics. We all can get to a certain size, right? So you attaining your best health might not look like somebody else. It might look better, or it might look not as big, or I don't want to use the word, but it might look worse. But the thing is, it's like, I don't necessarily see like the, I guess for men, there never seems to be like overweight or I guess the image of man. Because, like, okay, for example, the Sexiest Man Alive magazine, right? On People. Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd's been on there. He wasn't extremely big or jacked or anything, but he's been on there. There have been a few people on there that Pierce Brosnan or whatever, like, they've been attractive type dudes, but they weren't big, muscular, and jacked. From the body image side of things, if you're a guy that's looking to be muscular or looking to be bigger, it's partially because you're seeking it out, you know? Because I don't think in mainstream media, it's something that is shoved in people's faces. Whereas for women, because again, in terms of how men look at women for as far as their attractiveness, men are super, like, we are hyper visually stimulated. I think there is a bigger, there's always been a bigger push in terms of the way women looks versus what a woman can do. For men, there has been always been a push of what are your abilities? Mm-hmm. What do you bring to the marketplace? What do you bring to the world? How can you affect people around? Like, what are your skills? There's the look thing, but it's always been like, you're impressive because of what you can do, not only because of what you look like. Whereas for women, it's been something of, you're sexy, so you're good. You know, like, that seems to be the thing.
And even being sexy might just be like the face they were born with. Like, they may have been kind of born that way, and then maybe they just keep it together and they don't eat, they don't overeat. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't even train. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that too. So, like, the Sports Illustrated models that have been celebrated, some of them are, like, even just completely untrained. While this woman may have had extra body fat on her, there's some women that have probably been on the cover before, and it's Sports Illustrated. And I think, again, back to Jordan Peterson kind of saying that she's unathletic, that's yet to be determined. I have no idea of her athletic history, and I don't think Jordan Peterson has any idea either. And then, is she unhealthy? Well, what would be unhealthy? Like, how can we view her health? Get some blood work done? I would be completely blown away if that woman got blood work done, comprehensive blood work done, and she was like, holy shit, like, you're in a really bad spot. Your blood is thick. Your cholesterol is through the roof. Your triglycerides are way off. Now, does she have something that might be slightly off? I think if you pull blood from just about anybody and you run extensive tests on them, you're going to find some areas where their body reacted in particular ways to the lifestyle that they've had. But she's probably not unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And going back to kind of what you're the main driver of what we're talking about here, focusing in a little bit more on from the man's side of it and how men feel in their own bodies versus what is seen and portrayed out there. You know, I'm a kid of the 80s, so I saw Hulk Hogan, and I saw, you remember the beginning of Bigger, Stronger, Faster? There's mm-hmm. A lot of content in there showing Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was in Predator and in those movies where he's like blowing shit up, Commando, and he's just jacked as fuck, and every movie always has a really good shot of like his arms or him with his shirt off, obviously, because he's Arnold and looks incredible. Sylvester Stallone, the shape, I mean, we should just bring this up. the conditioning of Sylvester Stallone and Ivan Drago will never be matched ever again in movie history. It was fucking insane how shredded they were. They looked unbelievable. They had fucking striations and their serratus muscles.
What
and
was the name of the black guy? Because he, I
Mr.
remember.
Mr. T?
No. The other one. Apollo.
Oh, Apollo was incredible
shape.
He
was in crazy shape.
Yeah, well, he used to be a linebacker for the, for the Raiders. Back in the day.
You know, but oddly enough, looking back at this right here, I don't know how tall Ivan Drago is, or his real name, Dolph Lundgren. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't seem that he's particularly heavy. Like, I would assume he's like 190.
Probably. And Stallone is not very tall. I think he's, you know, 5'7", 5'8". Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they made him out to be a heavyweight, and he was probably one, you know, when he got really shredded, he might have been 175 or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these guys got in tremendous shape, and this is what I saw when I was young, and this is kind of what I wanted to be. Like, I wanted to be strong. I wanted to have muscle. But to your point of people nowadays having to go out of their way, I think you really hit the nail on the head, because like, this used to be what I would see all the time.
Yeah.
And there are action movies with these jacked characters that we're talking about, and there are people around like The Rock. So there still is a representation of this. But when I hear my wife talk and when I hear her girlfriends and stuff, when they get together and they talk and they say certain things about men, it's very damaging to my ego and I should probably go see a therapist. But when they start talking about these men that they find handsome or attractive,
yeah,
the muscle mass thing is not at the forefront. I mean, my wife is attracted to people with more muscle, but especially from her friends. Like, uh-huh. That's not a thing. For them. If you can bring up, see if you can find Eric the Vampire. I don't know what his real name is, but he was the vampire on the show True Blood.
Okay.
And, you know, there's like lead singers of like some certain.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. Like, Harry Styles.
Or the guy that unfortunately passed away from Foo Fighters, the drummer.
Oh, I don't know him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That guy was like, girls would go nuts over the guy. Yeah. And that's not, I mean, it's not that he's not muscular. He's not big. He's probably fairly tall, you know? And I don't think women are looking for a guy to be like yoked.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Cause like you think about like how many.
Like we like traps and forearms and chicks don't like that.
Yeah. No, real talk. Like women aren't like when men are super big or super jacked, it's not the big thing. Cause you think of like Twilight. You know how many girls were going crazy over Edward?
Yeah,
right. I think most girls actually liked Edward versus Jacob. And he was just a skinny, pale, white dude with a great face.
Is that Batman?
No. Yeah, that's okay. Batman. That's, what's his name?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. But either way.
something Patrickson or something? Is that right? No, my way.
I forgot his name.
I'm sorry.
Fat Project family, how's it going? Now, we like to look good in the gym and out of the gym. That's why you always see Mark and I and Andrew is stepping up on the short game, mm-hmm. wearing shorts from Vuori and clothes from Vuori. And honestly, the number one compliment that I've seen that I've gotten and even Mark's gotten is, damn, your butt looks good. And that's because, well, the clothes we wear make our booties look mm-hmm. delicious. Andrew, how can they get it?
Yeah, you guys both have pretty big wagons. You guys can head over to Vuori.com/power project. That's Vuori.com/power project to receive 20% off the most amazing apparel that looks so good inside and outside of the gym.
It's going to make your ass look fat,
and your ass like will that. Look fat. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. God damn it.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Make your ass look fat.
Go ahead. But I think Huberman had somebody on his show and they talked specifically. I actually wanted to listen to more of the show and I totally forgot about it. But they talked about attractiveness and they talked about like they had an expert on who studies this stuff. And he said mm-hmm. one of the most attractive things for some females is the shoulder to hip ratio.
Yes.
Which is an interesting thing. So like they are looking for you to, you know, have some muscle on you, but I don't think they really care about like 19-inch biceps, nope. and a 20-inch neck, you know, those kinds of things.
That you know, but what you're saying there is actually a very interesting point, because when a lot of these guys are talking about unrealistic expectations of gaining muscle or men or whatever, these are things that we're putting on ourselves as guys. Like from what I've seen with women, the bodies that we have are not like, this isn't the bodies that all these girls are going out and looking for. Truly. Like we might be jacked and big or whatever, but it's not like because of this, we are put so much more above other dudes. The thing that puts men above other men truly is how successful they are. That's a real thing, because I have a few friends that are pretty young and we talk, and some of their relationship issues have come down to the fact that you're just young and you haven't hit, because some like the dudes are in shape, they're great looking, but some of the common problems they have is that they're young and they haven't hit their stride in terms of their career. So some of the issues that they're having in relationships or whatever are just by the fact that you are not where you need to be yet mm-hmm. for a woman to be like, that's the guy, mm-hmm. right? And you might have all the looks and everything, but we're not looked at for that. We're not looked at purely for our physicality and the way we look. It may add a lot to what we do, being in shape and being healthy, but it's not the primary thing. Whereas for women, you are put way ahead of the game primarily for your looks. And that's why I think the media aspect of what we see as attractive for women is so much rougher on women than it is on men. I'm not saying it doesn't affect men at all. Don't get me wrong. Because some guys are going to be like, you know, what about men? Mm-hmm. It's not as rough on men, you know?
Does it go the opposite way for, so like I'm talking about like a dude, like imagine a young John Cena, right? Mm-hmm. Like a chick might see him and be like, that guy's useless. All he does is spend time in the gym. He probably has no job. He doesn't care about anything other than his body. Da, da, da. But for like a chick, I don't think we think that. Like, I can't imagine it going the opposite. If a girl's like way too hot, or it's like, oh, well, I mean, I guess like we might think like, oh, she's either stuck up or she's like
ditzy or something like that.
Right. But I think dudes usually just look around that or get around that somehow, right?
What do you think? There's some thoughts that came to my head, but this is all personal preference and shit, so go for
it. I do think that the way that anybody looks can have a huge influence on the things that you choose. And I think there are some people, when they're very good looking, they might not explore. Sometimes when somebody is super short, they'll pursue the gym because they want to feel bigger, right? I think sometimes people don't really explore their brain and really push into it when they're super good looking. I'm not saying that's always the case, but it's like if things were given to you, because I mean, just imagine from the time you're like, you ever see a picture of a girl who's really, really pretty from when they're like 4 years old or something. You're like, damn, you were always super cute. Mm-hmm. Like from the time you were little. So imagine the family's always talking about how cute you are. Then you get to be 14 and people are talking about how beautiful you look. And now you got makeup on and like there's a whole thing to it. And I just think the way that we look, the body that we're in, it really shapes us. Imagine you're, you know, seven and someone's like, you should be in like a talent show. Like you look great. Like you would, and maybe the chubby kid was never told that before. And so it definitely, you know, the heavier boy, somebody might say, you should play football. You know, you're a big kid, right? He's going to be encouraged to go a different route. And the kid that's unathletic, he's going to be like, man, I don't fit in with half the stuff my friends do. So I'm just going to sit here and read my fucking Harry Potter book. Mm. And they're going to develop a side of their brain that maybe other kids aren't working on at that time.
Dude, you know, okay, I hate using the word, but like there are all these different types of privilege that you have in the world. There is the privilege of having money, or like the, you know, if you were born with money, or you know, you make more money, there are things you're able to have a privilege with. There is a privilege of being in shape, because people will look at you differently if you look physically in shape. But pretty privilege is a fucking thing, you know. And there's the damaging aspect of it. If a person is really young and people can see that they're so good looking and they're always getting complimented and they're saying, oh, you should do this, then you immediately have this thing that, well, my worth is attached to the way I look. So that is the thing that I need to put the most effort into all the time. And you, as an adult, that can be very damaging for some people, because it's like, if number one, I knew somebody who I knew, because they were so good looking, people didn't tell them, like they were kind of living in a little bit of a bubble. Mm. Like people didn't tell them the truth all the time, because they're like, you're so hot, I'm gonna let you get away with that. Right. And I was just like, wow, I see how that affects you, because you don't even realize how like off you are with a lot of these things. You've just been so fucking pretty that you've been able to get away with a lot of shit, right? So that's a bad thing in a way.
And it's not that person's fault.
It's literally the way they've been able to go through life, which, hey, it's a blessing, but it can also be a fucking curse.
Yeah, like a hot chick could go to like a gas station. They could like pump gas and they can go inside and be like, I didn't have money for it or whatever. They can end up in a situation like that. And they'd be like, yeah, probably don't worry about it. You know, it's not a big deal. But if it happened to us, they'd be like, what the fuck?
It happens to Nseema every once in a while.
Dog. Okay. You know what, though? Me and my girl were having this conversation, because like what we noticed, and we were like, it seems that people who like, let's say that, because you mentioned like you kind of have to have kind of a personality when you're not good looking. As fucked up as that
well,
is.
The fat comedian, right?
Yeah.
Right. But people who like, let's say they didn't have pretty privilege. This is a rough convo. When they didn't have pretty privilege when they were younger and people weren't always like, you know, just giving it to them because they were so good looking, right? They have to, got to develop something up here. But if you glow up later, mm-hmm. You have a personality and you're good looking.
So is it in my son's best interest if I just keep him like ugly?
Yo, do not compliment that boy's looks.
It's going to be hard because everybody talks about it.
Yeah, I was a big headed, ugly kid, man. Everyone kept saying, oh, you big ass head. I was always made fun of for my fucking head because it was fucking huge. Right? So I...
You grew into it.
I grew into it, luckily. But like... that.
Look at this kid. He's got a big pumpkin head.
My coaches would make fun of me for it. My cousins would make fun of me for it. I was always that big old kid with a big ass head. Look, and girls would say it too.
Something I think is important is that you mentioned that your mother wouldn't tell you that you're smart. Mm-mm. But your mother, I would imagine, probably has told you that she's proud of you.
She's told me that she's proud of me
for certain things that you actually like followed through on, right?
The things that I did. That's the thing. Like we were talking about how like men are rewarded truly in society for what they do. My mom always rewarded me for if I worked hard at something or she saw that I did really well at something, she's like, good job, you did this. Like she never told me I was talented at anything or told me this is the funny thing because in that book Mindset by Carol Dweck, she warns against parents telling kids that they're talented or they're gifted or putting that behind them because when they don't end up being talented or gifted at something as an adult, they're going to quit. My mom didn't know that shit, but she just for some reason knew not to compliment things that weren't under the like my effort. So that, you know, I was never complimented on things like that, which I think made it so that I personally, when I look at somebody, even a woman or my girlfriend, like the things that I'm really in awe about are, whoa, you good job. Like she's in really good shape, right? But that shit took work, right? And a lot of the things she's doing and has done, it take work. And I find that super attractive because I'm like, you aren't given that. You aren't gifted that. You worked at that, you know? And for men, that's our primary thing, you know, for I guess what people look at for our worth. It's what we do. You know, and I don't necessarily think that's a burden, the male burden, right? But I think it's a good overall. It's a good thing. You know,
I'm amongst men. I'm attracted to it. Like when I have a friend that can do all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be telling my wife about this person and my wife's like, "You're gonna have a relationship with this person? Like, what's going on?" I'm like, "They can fish, they can hunt, they can like, they know how to survive in the fucking wilderness, and like,
he can protect me.
Yeah, he can mow the lawn. Like, he knows how to do all these things.
I know where to go if the world ends.
It's just an interesting thing when you like you know people like that. But I think that there's a lot of hope for men because you can simply just work on yourself, and you don't have to necessarily turn into this perfect." Body type of thing to be able to be attractive.
But that's the thing. I think when some men look at that, they're like, oh, we have this thing that we have to go through that women don't. But women, because of the male-female dynamic, they have their own burden. You know, they have their own troubles that men will not have to deal with. Sure, you might have to – women can go through life and – having sex is a much easier thing for women. Like they don't have to hunt for it. It's like you'll have a line of dudes that want to get down, right? So that's not an issue. And for a lot of men, that is an issue. But when it comes to, let's say you want to have a career, you want to have a job, or you want to be successful in that way, there is an aspect where many men just don't care. Like that it's not that you shouldn't or women shouldn't go for those things. They should, but it is somewhat of a, there is a weird double standard where a lot of, there's this podcast that my girl listens to and there are these two really successful female comedians and they talk about how like a lot of women are less attractive to men because of how much more success they have because many a times that is threatening to men in a way. You know, they're like, well, I don't want somebody else that's like working as hard as me. And
I wear the pants.
Yeah. And there's an aspect of it where you're like, okay, if somebody wants to have a family, then somebody has to be working. Not someone doesn't have to stay home, but there needs to be a level of who's working more, or you better have the funds to be able to get a daycare sitter or whatever. But either way, that isn't put up for women. Your work you do for a lot of men, it's not the highlight of you, which is unfortunate, because for men, if you become successful at whatever you do, boom, that's good for you, right? But for women, it's not always, and it's sad, it's unfortunate, but it's not always the thing that puts you a level up against somebody else. Some girl could be doing nothing, nothing. She could work at fucking McDonald's, but she's cute. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Right?
That's all that matters.
And that is that in and of itself. Think about how much we put on the looks of women. And it's, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's necessary. It's that we're biologically wired for that shit, but that's why that body image shit is worse for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for dudes like being vocal about it now, it's all new. Like all of this shit is new.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the percentage of, of Americans being obese, but like that's new. So like, if you go back to like the first Batman, it's like, dude, I'm pretty sure I'm more jacked than that guy.
Oh yeah.
But like
Michael Keaton, right?
No, even the one with the shark spray.
Oh,
really old.
Like Robert West or whatever.
Yeah, who knows? I think it is. Yeah, West. Yeah, you're right. But like every dude didn't have to try really hard to look like that. Like there wasn't really an issue. But now it's like as dudes are getting thicker, you know, there's like, oh, I can't look like that guy, so I'm not even going to try. Instead, I'm going to just talk about like how it's unfair that that's the person that we put on the pedestal because I can't be that way. Like I'm going to complain about it instead of trying to do something about it because it's all new. Like this is all like a whole different world than it was when Batman was kind of out of shape.
Even 007, the OG 007.
He's like one of the world's like sexiest men at the time and shit.
Sean Connery. Well, Sean Connery is one of them, but wasn't there one before him?
Maybe. Let me look it up.
People are getting so mad probably right now.
They're yelling.
I did not know this.
Oh man. But yeah, it's I don't know. I just think like when it comes to this body stuff, that's why on the show, like, okay, we're big, but we also talk about health, healthy habits. Become the healthiest person that you can be. And that's, we all each have different genetics for what that looks like. That doesn't mean that there is one that's the best, but we can all attain that, man or woman.
And also the odds of you being able to get a female are going to increase when you get yourself in better shape.
So that's while so funny, we get a female,
yeah, get a mate or a partner.
Damn, there's a lot of them.
You'll be able to be more attractive. The more attractive that you make yourself, the more that you work on that aspect of, if you're currently a heavier person, working on losing body fat is going to help tremendously. So while we're kind of saying all this, how you know, you can still be attractive without, you know, losing weight. Especially if you gained a lot of weight, like if you've always been a little bit big, I think that carries a little differently. And I'm not talking about like being like obese, because I think that that's something people should always address. Because I just think like not being healthy is just not a great way to go around. And I think it would be more attractive if you were able to work on fixing that. But for people that grow up a little bit bigger and they grow up a little bit thicker, I think their mindset is a little different. And I think that for somebody who's bigger, you know, to simply just work on losing a little bit of weight or working on just like the habit of overeating, I think it could have some really, really huge benefits. And then the stuff that we talk about on the show, like walking. I have some friends, some people that are close to me that they don't really work out. They don't really do much, but they still look good. And they're older, but like, yeah, they exercise, but not much exercise. They just simply don't overeat. But for a lot of us, we like to eat. So if you like to eat, you're going to have to probably put out a little bit more in the exercise realm.
You know, I saw somebody talk, and I told you guys, I sent this podcast to you. There's this podcast called, it's this, let me find it real quick.
Some hints, maybe?
No. It was with this blonde girl, and...
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that.
All right, 1 second. Oh, yeah, Call Her Daddy, okay? Now, I don't listen to this podcast, but I saw this post of this girl who was talking about... this girl that posted this is... She is obese. But she was talking about how this episode from Call Her Daddy called Cancel Diet Culture... featuring Susan Hyatt. I think that you guys should maybe go take a listen to it because there were some things in there that I was like, interesting. But when this woman was talking about diet culture, it's like it seems to be that there is a big there's a swing in thin diet culture that's very unhealthy. You know what I mean? Like people doing these 90-day transformation plans and like, you know, people losing drastic amounts of weight in a very short amount of time, doing things that aren't very healthy, not building in healthy habits. Like I want to actually first talk about the things that I thought were really good from this episode of this podcast. This woman was talking a lot about like having people focus on habits rather than having them focus on like the weight lost in a week or rather than having them focus on the scale. Good, healthy habits. But and she started talking about how the diet culture is a arm of the patriarchy. I'm like, oh, whoa, wait, we were doing pretty good. We were talking about habits. Now diet culture is a product of the patriarchy. And it's all because of the male gaze. And it started getting very, just very weird. But the thing I think about that is like, people were saying that we shouldn't be okay with that Sports Illustrated cover because we're thinking it's okay to be overweight. Okay, listen. Some people are going to be overweight and can be overweight and can be healthy. That's okay. We're not trying to say that being obese is okay because that's not good. It's unhealthy and we're not for that. But you can have some body fat on you and still be a healthy individual. You don't have to be one. There's not one look or one body for this is what health looks like. But we also should be mindful about how much we fucking eat. Like we shouldn't glorify, you know, just pure pleasure all the time.
People eat way too much.
Because exactly. In this podcast, this woman was talking about and she was saying things like, you know, we shouldn't like let our life pleasure go down because we're trying to be a certain size and look a certain way. Like, okay, no, we need a level of fucking self-control with our food. It's gone too far with how much people can eat because everything is so readily available. Like diet culture, telling people to be careful and limit their food intake, that is not a bad thing because obviously we have a problem with how much people can eat here in the United States. But then it's just like there's this whole problem within people that are anti-diet culture, they think this idea of restriction is a bad thing because taken to the far end of things, restriction can lead to people having eating disorders. You know, it can lead to people doing very unhealthy things to try to lose weight. But restriction is necessary if you're going from being overweight or obese to trying to get to a healthier body. You have to restrict. You have to limit yourself in terms of all the pleasure you can have coming into your mouth. So it just swung too far in one direction and we're learning how to equalize it.
You'll have to be restrictive in some sense. Like you got to be restrictive of those habits that you ingrained and those tastes and flavors that you really like. Like you can't, it's hard to match up those flavors. Like they don't come from other stuff. Like fat and carbohydrates are not really found in anything other than milk. Maybe a little bit in like some nuts, but they don't really have much carbohydrate. So fat and carbohydrates is really rare. So things like ice cream, things like pizza, even sandwiches and stuff, if you have like mayonnaise on them or you have fatty meats and cheese and stuff, now you're getting in – or a burrito. You're just getting into stuff that just has a mix in it that tastes really good, hyper palatable. Yeah. It's going to make it very hard for you to – stop yourself. It kind of overrides the body, the brain's ability to recognize that you're full.
Yeah.
And you're just going to overdo it on that. And how do you just gain some control over the foods that you eat? There's a lot of different strategies and a lot of different methods to do that. One of the methods that we talk about often on the show is to fast, utilize some fasting. Another method that we talk about is to look at your sleep. You know, is your sleep off? Because if your sleep is off, your hunger, your cravings and stuff like that are going to go way up. So, And we also talk about eating protein. These are all things. My whole thing all the time always just goes back to, I don't care if you're idolizing Chris Hemsworth or you're idolizing The Rock or you're idolizing some of these people that look incredible and you think it's bad because they have an unobtainable body.
For you.
Right, for you, right? I think what you need to do is you need to just say, that's so sick that guy's in shape like that. That's fucking awesome. I wonder if I can do better. And the answer is always fucking yes. You can do better. You can be better. Can you look like that person? I don't know. What's going to happen if you try?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good things might happen if you try. What if you were to, again, we've mentioned this before, what if you just adopted some of their habits? You know, what if you were like, oh shit, okay, he trains every day at 6 a.m. All right, I wonder if I kind of set myself up, okay, I need 8 hours of sleep, I'm going to go to bed at 9 and da-da-da-da-da, and you start to set your life up a little bit like that. Oh, it says that he eats 3 times a day and he mainly eats most of his calories later in the day. Oh, wow, that would actually work really good for me because I could eat before I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come home, it can be party time and I can have like a double dinner and I can eat twice, get my 8 hours of sleep. But you can start to just adopt some of these habits. But we're just always looking at, we're always looking at the end result. We're not thinking about, hey, if I incorporate a lot of these habits, I can end up being like this.
I just Googled the what you had said about the patriarch diet culture being part of the patriarchy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's been said several times, not just by her. So I just thought that was interesting. So I don't know if she was just
what does
like,
that mean?
Well, go ahead and see my, I'll butcher it, but go ahead.
Well, okay. So diet culture being an arm of the patriarchy, it's like overall the patriarchy is men in power. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And men have power in a lot of different, you know, forms of media, government, et cetera. So it's more so high powered men saying that women should look and be a certain way. Like this is a patriarchal standard is what they're trying to say. Like it's a standard that's imposed upon women by men. That's what some of these people are trying to say. Now, homies in the comments, obviously these are select people who are saying this. I don't think this is necessarily general sentiment about diet culture, but yeah, I think that's bullshit. Like, I mean, if we're kind of being, I guess, trying to think about, okay, how could that be true? Honestly, because, you know, people were trying to say Sports Illustrated has been a magazine about sports. The swimsuit edition, bro, like that was beat off material. That's all that shit was.
Genius, too. Like,
yeah, exactly. Let's not fool ourselves to think this was about sports. But in saying that, it's like the individuals who, you know, I guess were in power at Sports Illustrated and in movies when hot chicks are portrayed, it's dudes. Like if there's an aspect of like what's being put forward as attractive, it's what do us as men look at as attractive? Well, it's this general standard of like a in shape woman with big tits and a big ass. Like, so if you think about it in that way, it hasn't necessarily been in a lot of media, it hasn't necessarily been women saying, how do we want to be portrayed? It has been men. So if you think about it and you just try to be a little bit even, you can understand that there's an aspect of this is what most men find attractive. And go, all you ladies, try and fucking catch up to this, right? So I can kind of get it. But overall, when we're trying to think of how can people become healthier men and women, it doesn't make any fucking sense to be diet culture is part of the fucking patriarchy. And this is all, no, it's not. It's like, no, people just need to be fucking healthier.
Yeah, I 100% get what you're saying. But also, like, if you were to present two body types to a woman that's overweight, one being in shape, which one would she wish, or if you said, which one would you wish you could be? She's probably going to go for the one in shape.
Absolutely.
And so like some of these diets, I don't think it's a part of a big empire to, what is it? Part of the patriarch or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, patriarchy.
It's just like, oh, people want to learn how to get in shape. People want to learn how to lose weight. All right, here's the fucking ketogenic diet. This is how you do it. ahead.
No, I was going to say to you, like, you're totally right, because, okay, is even though, like, mostly in a lot of these sectors, there have been more men in power, men can see this body as a man or this body as a man. What would I rather be, right? Men would probably choose a more healthy in shape one versus an out of shape, unhealthy one. Women can see the same thing. These are things that we can just see what is healthier and which one would we rather try to be or go towards. Mm-hmm. So even though they're saying this is a patriarchy thing, it's also partially a human thing. Like you were mentioning the Andrew Huberman interview where the guy was talking about waist to hip ratio. It's just something that you see an outline, you're like, that's good. You see an outline of something else, you're like, that's not as good. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's rough because we're all fucking different. And there are aspects of I do think that seeing different bodies in ads and in things is good because it helps people understand, like, we do come in different shapes and sizes, but we can also tell what is healthier or what we would rather want to trend towards.
It is really interesting, you know, being in a free country, that the voice of reason is often silent, and silenced. You know, we can't even tell people that they're fat. You can't tell someone, hey, man, like, we've known each other for a while. I haven't seen you in a couple months, but, like, did you put on some weight? Like, you can say that. And some of us that maybe have people that we are really close to, maybe would find an even better way to try to mention it in whatever undamaging way that we felt that we can mention it. But even, like, why does the conversation even have to be damaging? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't really have to be devastating. In other countries, they don't, when somebody gains weight, somebody's just like, you're getting fat. Like, what happened? What are you doing? They'll just flat out say it. And I know it sounds crazy to say it here, because it's of our culture and what we're used to. But in other countries, it's not wild just to say that to somebody.
African cultures, you get that shit in your face. Yeah. Like all African families.
And it may or may not really hurt your feelings, but you may also just be like, yeah, like I have been doing that makes sense. I've been doing a bunch of things that are in line with weight gain. Like I haven't moved a lot. I don't work out anymore. I don't do this anymore. So it's interesting, you know, to hear somebody say that, like, they feel like a message is only being, you know, delivered down from, you know, this patriarchy type of thing is an interesting thing, because I wish in this country that we talked about it more. Mm. I wish that we just said it more.
Talk, like, about what?
Male and female. But I wish we just talked about being fat and strategies to get away from being fat. I think being fat is immensely damaging. And again, I'm not talking about just having a couple pounds on you. I think what it does to our children and what it does to our families and what it does to people is way undersold. Like, it's way more harmful than we have any idea. And I'm not talking about just your health in terms of, is your blood work good? Because you can be heavy and have decent blood work, mm-hmm. but for how long? Can you be mentally healthy and be overweight? Maybe. Can you be mentally healthy and be obese? Ask some obese people that you know. Ask some people that are really heavy, or just think about the people that you know in your life that are really heavy. It's a fucking tough go of it. And if you've never been there before, you don't know what it feels like. Mm. It can be really paralyzing. And that's why there's such a disconnect between what we share on this show and the message that we would love for somebody's uncle or for somebody's grandmother to hear or for somebody's brother or sister who's overweight. They won't even ever listen to this show. Because there's such a gap. There's such a disconnect. But just imagine if somebody was like, oh, like, people don't want to flip the channel. They don't want to switch the channel. They want the sad song playing when they're sad, and they want to continue down that path. They don't want to put the happy song on when they're sad. They don't want to flip the channel. They want to kind of stay in what they're in. And it makes sense because they feel ashamed of it, but I think if we continue to bring it out into the forefront, there's nothing to be ashamed of about this. We have a culture where there is junk food fucking everywhere. And we've been sold a lot of lies. Like, a lot of it's our fault. Let's just go 50-50 on it. A lot of it's our fault. the little hearts that you see on the fucking Honey Nut Cheerios and shit like that. Like, all that stuff's bullshit. Like, that stuff is detrimental. There's a lot of people that still don't know that that stuff's not great for you. They don't know that it's very easy to overeat some of these foods.
Yeah.
And they don't know that, like, even on something like a thing of Cheetos, it might say that it has fucking vitamin C in it. And they'll try to sell you on some sort of, you know, valuable thing that's coming from fucking Cheetos. And we should know better, right? So that we got to take our own responsibility. Mm-hmm. But you guys have been in this game for a long time as well. You see how hard it is to unravel a lot of this stuff. Even when you get talking to somebody at a family gathering or something, they're like, yeah, but doesn't this work? Isn't that good for you? Like, mm-hmm. isn't it not a good idea to, like, not be on too strict of a diet? And it's like, maybe, but you're 40 pounds overweight. Like, we gotta figure out something. Mm. I just think that we don't understand how bad mental health is really wrecking this country. And in my opinion, it's being wrecked from people just simply, quite simply, just being fatter than they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, this culture is not ready for the just direct talk, right?
Right.
Like, you're 40 pounds overweight. It doesn't matter what diet you go on. Just eat less. You're going to hurt people's feelings because, like, again, this culture, like, when somebody's overweight, they get made fun of. You know, it's like, oh, weakness. Let me pounce on this weakness now. And then so when you are kind-hearted and you do want to help somebody, they don't see it that way, even if you are trying to be as nice and mm-hmm. kind as possible. It's really, that's going to be really hard not to untie.
Okay. Let me play devil's advocate on this a little bit.
Do it.
You know, when we did the whole show, the Yumi Nu thing, and we're like, okay, she's on the cover. So what? You have different fucking options. You can choose that one. We've talked about the fat acceptance thing where, okay, yo, fat people exist. They're out here wearing swimsuits. They're out here doing whatever, having activities. Like, it's, and if people who are overweight and people who are obese just literally don't want to get in shape, even if there are some negative health outcomes, and
they feel good about it.
They feel fine about it, right? Like, we have this mission on trying to help as many people that want to get healthier. But if someone's out there, you know, and they're obese or overweight and they have no interest, are they wrong? It's free. It's America. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. I mean, it is great. We have such access to so many things. It's hard to starve, right? And if someone chooses just to go on the other end of things and there's no problem, they feel that they don't have any type of problem. Who are we to say? Like, who are we to say, oh, that shouldn't be okay? No, motherfucker, it is okay for them, mm-hmm. right? It's not okay for us, and it's not okay for you, the individual who's looking at that person and saying, I would never want to do that. That's fine. We're focusing on the people that want it, and the people that don't want it, you do your thing.
Here's why I would say it's not okay, though. Is just the damage that it does to our healthcare system. And the damage that, like,
that's
so you can smoke a cigarette, but you can't do it in my house. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So there's things like that where I would love for anybody that has any problem at all in their life.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's your knee, your back, you get headaches, you feel like you're overweight.
COVID.
Anything that you have. I think if you work on getting healthier, mm-hmm. it will help you to learn what your real problems are. And I actually really firmly believe that if you kind of defat yourself, for most people, I think it will have a really positive outcome for a lot of folks.
I agree with you.
And I do also, I'm in full agreement with you, like, do whatever you want. You know, my mother was heavy her whole life, but I didn't love her any differently because she was heavy, mm-hmm. you know. There's a lot of great people in this world that are heavy. They go through their life heavy. But my mom also died younger than she probably should have. Mm. She should still be around. Mm. My kids should still be able to enjoy her. She should still be able to enjoy her grandkids. She should still be able to enjoy life. But not only did she die young, but she halfway died young. Like, she died 5 or 6. That's why when she did pass, it wasn't that difficult for me to really deal with it, because I was like, I'm glad that she went, because she was in a lot of pain. Every day was so hard for her. And the same thing was true with my brother, but he had more of a mental health issue. He had coping mechanism issues. And when he died, it was the same thing. I was like, oh my God, like that's great that he's no longer like, I would love for him to be here. The family would love for him to be here. My family would love for my mom to be here, but they're no longer with us. They made their particular choices. They felt like they were stuck in those situations. Both the situations are the same to me. Mm. My brother killed himself and my mom killed herself in some way. They're very similar to each other. My mom felt like she couldn't get herself out of the situation that she got herself into. She did get into those situations through horrible circumstances that were out of her control when she was young. But ultimately, she could have probably made some different decisions when she was older. And maybe she literally couldn't. I don't know. I never walked in her shoes, so I don't know. I don't know what that feels like. But I think there's a lot of people that are trapped in these in similar situations where they feel addicted. They feel they're too far on the other side.
Yeah.
And man, if you can figure out a way to go for that fucking walk, or you can figure out a way to try this particular diet, and you might have tried a bunch of them, try some intermittent fasting, try getting a little bit better sleep, try eating more protein, try eating some fruit, try eating some vegetables. Just give it all a shot, because it might be the thing that changes your life.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, because I was doing a little bit of devil's advocate stuff there, but I mean, I do agree with you, man. Like, I mean, it's a problem. But I do think if you're someone who's in this audience and you're in shape, and you believe you're healthy and you're, you know, you're doing good in that realm of things, if you want to try to help other people, you're a very compassionate person, Mark. Even the way you talk about this stuff, you keep in mind the individual who may be on the other side of things, and you keep in mind where they are at this point in time. When I see certain comments from people talking about other people or commenting to other people who may not be in shape, I'm just like, okay, there could be an aspect of you where you're just really mean and you're on the internet to this person. Mm-hmm. But there could be an aspect of like, you're not putting yourself in this other person's shoes. Like you're really not trying to see where they are and what they're trying to fix and how maybe they might be struggling. And the way you communicate to them just makes those people think that fit people are assholes. Mm-hmm. Seriously, when I hear some like really in shape people talk about this shit, I'm just like, God damn, you're such a dick about this. Like, I'm not surprised that some people think fit people are assholes, right? So what I want to, like, what I'm getting at here is like, if you want to help somebody, come at it from a side of like, hey, you, it's tough. You're going through some stuff. How can I help? Like, what's going on? Like,
help me with what?
Oh, right. That's a good one.
That recipe you were struggling with,
right? But like, just in general, just understand that everyone's going through some shit, man. And that might be a reason why an individual might be obese, but you know, be compassionate about it.
You're not going to be heard unless you like, that's the only way to go about doing it. Cause if you're mean or you're
demeaning,
too upfront right off the bat, then they're not going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And full agreement with the devil's advocate as well. Cause I was just thinking like, and I don't think anything should ever be taken away from anybody, or something has to cost more because of your certain something. But like during the pandemic, one side said, if you don't get the thing, then you're not allowed to go to the hospital. It's like, oh, why is that? It's because you're going to clog up the hospitals and you're going to mess it up for everyone else.
Yeah.
You can make the same shitty argument for obese, right? Because it's like, eventually you're going to end up here. That's to some extent, right, Mark? You had said this, like, if you don't pay attention to your health, you're going to be forced to have to take care of your health eventually. Yeah. But no, that's not the answer. But I'm just saying, like, you could make the argument like that, right? Like, maybe... Yeah, again, the slippery slope, like it gets really rocky and muddy down in there. But yeah, I don't know what the answer is.
The answer is share this with a friend so this podcast can reach more people and we can all help people get healthier. That's
what we're trying to do. And in Discord, let us know where you guys sit on this, you know, some of what we're talking about right here.
Yeah.
And some of the main topic of today, being a dude and trying to have to be overly jacked.
Yeah.
Be like Goku.
I thought you were pointing to Bo Jackson.
Or Bo Jackson.
He didn't even work out.
He didn't even lift.
How would they, who would win in a race? Bo is pretty fast.
I put my money on Bo. Mm. I mean, I put my money on Bo, man.
Is there?
If Bo was in the Dragon Ball Z universe, he'd be faster than Goku. Yeah. He's a fucking god.
He's pretty fast on Tecmo Bowl.
Unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Just keep hitting that A button. People just bounce right off of him.
Did you ever play Tecmo Bowl?
No, I did not.
Oh, man.
What is Tecmo Bowl?
It had like cutscenes, and it was so good.
Dude.
Nintendo. But Super Tecmo Bowl was better.
And Seema's got to play some Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
The curl pattern for the Giants couldn't stop it.
I would.
Mark Bavaro. Phil Sims and Mark Bavaro every time.
So I remember I would go in and create, you just select like the custom plays. The flea flicker fucked everybody watching every time.
No, I just saw something.
Oh.
I was trying to look for something. This popped up on my feed. A helicopter carrying a heart for a transplant crashes.
Oh, no.
They save the heart. And then the doctor drops it.
Oh, my God.
The doctor is walking off with his heart, and then he trips.
This wasn't meant to be.
The heart just slips. Oh.
Again, I'm laughing at something else that happened somewhere
off screen.
Off screen. Oh, my God. That's so sad.
Oh, my God.
Man. Did they save the heart afterwards?
I don't know, bro. I would hope so.
Like a water balloon? Does it pop?
The part's probably fine. It's just funny that, like, the crashes, and then the doctor's like, I'm going to take this heart to this patient, and then
and
boom.
They just stumbling.
Yeah.
God dang it. All righty.
Take us on out of here, Andrew.
Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. Oh, a little bit too hard off the backboard. Please drop us your comments down below. Let us know what you guys think about today's conversation. And subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already. And please follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, with the shot, is it going to go in? It is windy in here. It was a little bit wide. A little bit wide.
Get on Discord, peeps. It's popping over there. And yeah, let us know what you thought about this podcast, because this was literally off the cuff for us. This is not what we were about to talk
about.
Eventually,
we'll get to that other topic.
We'll get to the topic we were going to get to. But this is a really there's a lot in here with body image and men, women. It's a weird one. Mm-hmm. @NseemaInYang on Instagram, YouTube, and @NseemaYinYang on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
The longest standing podcast. We have Jesus Christ on the show every day. Goku. JC. We got Bo Jackson, and we got Marky Moo. We got John Cena over here. Bam, bam, bam,
bam. Why'd you guys put the Moo at the end of his name? Like, what was
Marky
the
Moo? I don't know.
Yeah.
Half man, half cow? I don't know. Oh, man. Marky Moo is really outsized in this fucking matchup. Look how tall Cena is.
Yeah.
He's taller than me, but not by that much.
But you're immovable right there, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's
low
true.
Low center of gravity.
See? Yeah, like he can't get me to... No matter what he does.
Nowhere to go.
Strength is never weakness. Weakness is never strength. I'm @MarksMillieBell. Catch you guys later. Bye.